Hey everyone, welcome to the Homeschool Sisterhood. Today is our second book club, Mom's Book Club of 2020. And I'm excited to actually dive into these chapters because we actually were supposed to do these chapters 2 weeks ago and we couldn't finish because we really love chatting about curriculum on the last book discussion. So, which was part of the chapter that we read, okay? So it wasn't like a random thing. But today we're going to finish up. We're going to talk about chapter 33 and chapter 34. And then in our next book club in 2 weeks, we are going to start talking about handicraft. So we're going to talk about working with our hands and teaching our kids to work with their hands. And we're going to talk about like Mary and Martha. And I think it's going to be a really great discussion. And a few other chapters. The avoiding the not enough syndrome. Can I get a witness that we all need this? we always concerned like, am I doing enough? We're not doing enough. So we're gonna talk about that next month too. And there's more. There's a lot more that we're gonna talk about it. But today, it's just the afternoon. Yeah, I don't know why I said tonight. But today we're focusing on two areas. We're talking about marriage harmony, the importance of marriage, having a good marriage, good communication, be on the same page, all of those things. And the second thing that we're going to talk about is modesty. So how are we modest from inside out, and how do we teach that to our kids? Because I think it's so important, not just for teaching the girls, you know, but even teaching the boys how to be modest. Modesty is not just about the way that you dress. That's part of being modest too. But the way that you speak or the way that you think of yourself or you project yourself, right? So let's start our discussion. I'm going to actually put on the gallery view because I love doing the gallery view. And of course, we got to see Elizabeth's baby because he's like the cutest thing. Hi, baby. Hi. Miranda, I see your video is on, but I can't see you. All right. And let's start this. Okay. So chapter 33. Hi, Valentina. I can see you now. Elizabeth, I can see you in two cameras. I see you on your phone and I see you on the computer. Yay! Okay. And I see Miranda there. Hi, Miranda. All right, you guys. So chapter 33 talks about marriage harmony. And she starts with Colossians 3:14, where it says, and above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And you guys, hi! You guys, this verse has been a verse that I have to remind myself often that when we put love above all things, love above our kids' tantrum, love about our exhaustion, love about those difficult homeschool days, love about whatever, you know, the kid that spilled the milk all over the place. When we put love, let me mute everybody here, hold on. When we put love above all of those things, we keep the peace and the harmony. And it's really hard when we're having hard days. Hey, Elizabeth, I see the other Elizabeth there. It's really hard on those days when things are not going the way that we're expecting to put on love sometimes. But we need to be reminded that love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of mistakes, even our own mistakes. And love, it's what keeps the harmony and the peace in our home. Always. Always. So, and this goes from, you know, for our relationship with our husband, our relationship with our children, and sometimes even with our relationship with ourselves. Because sometimes I think dealing with ourselves is the hardest part, right? So So she shares a little bit of some of the stories about the little story of her granddaughter, listen to her heart. And she said that she was listening to her heart beep, like her heart was beeping, not beating. And how cute that was, you know. I think that we constantly need to check our heart beep. We do, because sometimes we're the ones who wake up in the wrong mood and we cause the stress and we cause things to be more difficult around us. We had, I think it was 2 days ago, that we had a bit of stress going on, and I was stressed out because I didn't sleep the night before. And hello, if I don't sleep well, you guys, I get up cranky. Does anybody wake up cranky if you don't sleep enough? How about the kids? Do they get up cranky if they don't sleep enough? Right? So I didn't sleep enough and I woke up cranky, and it was sad, because it's like, unfortunately, we have like this, like we need more self-control. Amen to that. We need more self-control. And I did not put on love the moment that I woke up. Let's just say that. And I did not wake up in a good mood. And all of a sudden, I thought that it was kind of like contagious. All of a sudden, I thought that like the atmosphere in the morning was heavy. And we were not happy, in a good mood, listen to worship songs normally like we do, and praying in the car, stuff like that. And I felt very convicted of my lack of putting on love that morning. Yeah, Diamond says it's hard enough to put on clothes when you're tired, let alone put on love. Yeah, and Valentina saying it happens when you don't eat as well. Valentina, amen to that. If I'm hungry, I'm cranky. If I don't sleep enough, I'm cranky. And it's really, we need to check on our attitude all the time, right? It's tough. And sometimes our poor husbands have nothing to do with your lack of sleep, or sometimes they do because they're coughing all night, and like me, my situation. But you know, my husband needs my love and my care, my attention more than he needs me with a bad attitude in the morning, right? So I think it was really good at the beginning of the chapter how Karen was trying to focus our attention on our heartbeat and our heart attitude. Our attitude really can make or break our day. Our attitude can make or break our relationship with our husband and our children. So as women of God, it is our duty to submit our hearts to the Lord every single morning and say, Lord, here I am, guide my day, let me put on love above all things so I can have a peaceful, joyful, and harmonious day with my family or with anyone that will cross my path. And it's so, so important that we do that. And be reminded that, and that was really cool too, that she talks about how opposite attracts. And okay, how many of you can say like, my husband is the opposite from me? No hands? Not completely opposite? Okay, Megan raised her hand. Thank you, Megan. I'm not alone. Diamond is raising her hand. I'm not saying my husband is completely opposite from me, but we are different, okay? Let's use the word different more than the opposite. But it is true that the opposites attract and the different attract. If I had a person, if I had a husband exactly like me, let me tell you, it would be a tough marriage. Because my husband is a lot more patient than I am. And I am like, I'm very like, well, let's just do this. Very spontaneous, right? My husband is more like, well, I think we need to first consider this and this options, make sure that this is the right thing to do. And so he brings the balance that I need in my life because we're different. And in a lot of ways, if it wasn't for me, he will be stuck on the same place because he's very cautious and he I see Elizabeth like, woo, yes. Because he is very, very cautious. And without me giving him that little push and exciting him about something, he will kind of like be in his comfort zone. He will probably still be in his job back in BC, and I'll be there freezing cold in the snow instead of being here in New Orleans in a beautiful sunny day, exploring all those different places. But that's because we are different. Our personalities are different. And different doesn't mean wrong or bad. It just means that it's different. And the harmony comes when both, you know, I believe that we all need to be humble enough to listen to each other, to consider each other's differences, and come together as one, right? We both need to walk together. The Bible says that unless both agree, they cannot walk together. Unless two agree, they cannot walk together. And it's very important that we agree with things, that we listen to each other. And I think it's part of respecting each other too. And sometimes you're not going to get your way. I'm sorry. You're not going to get your way. I have to say, like, most of the time I do get my way. But not 100% of the time. I got to show you guys this because this is really funny. I got this today. Hold on. So I come from a long line of Jewish women, and Jewish women are known for kind of being panicky and let's say we're a bit dramatic, just a bit dramatic, okay? Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus, and thank God for the Holy Spirit in my life. But today, as we were walking in the French Quarters in New Orleans, I was actually having my heart was very, very heavy. And you guys, very sadly, there is a lot of ungodliness in the streets of New Orleans. And if you ever have a chance to come and visit, you need to do a prayer walk with your family. Pray over the city. Pray over the people that you're going to pass by, because you're going to see all kinds of things. You're going to see people reading hands and crystal balls on the street and tarot cards. And it's just a lot of ungodliness. And as we were walking, we actually met a group of young people from the school where I graduated 15 years ago, and they were doing a prayer walk, and we got to pray with them, and they got to pray for us, which was really exciting, and we just carry on kind of praying and visiting sites, and the Lord, just like in the middle of that, all those stores and all those places, just showed me this little Jewish store. And I couldn't resist and get in because I saw this on the window. Can you read it? I had to get it. I just had to get it. But here's the thing, because, well, I needed a new mug anyways. But here's why the Lord brought me into that store, because of the lady in the store. And we got in, and she said, "Oh, I love your Star of David." And then, you know, the conversation began, and I was asking her, "Tell me about the Jewish community here," and all of that stuff. And the conversation began. And long story short, because this has nothing to do with what we were talking about, but I wanted to share this because it was awesome. At the end of our conversation, she was wrapping up my beautiful mug that shows, this is the natural me, okay? Thank God for the Jesus in me that holds me back. But I really felt the Lord was telling me to pray for that lady, and not simply just pray in my heart and my mind, but to pray for her. So I asked her, and I said, "Can I pray a blessing over you?" And she said, "Yeah, sure." So I held her hand and I prayed for her there at the store. And it was so amazing that the Lord can use us in different situations and different places just to pray and bless somebody. Anyways, so all of that with my whole attitude and how dramatic I am sometimes. But in all my drama, you know, this got me to pray for a soul today, for a person who needed. And she was blown away. She said, this is the best gift anyone can receive. It's somebody's prayer and blessings. And I said, yes, it is. It's the best gift we can give and we can receive. It's a blessing. So be committed to pray for this lady. Her name is Arlene. And pray for this place here. But going back to our situation here. See, each of us, and I'm going to read a little bit of this, okay? If a girl waits long enough, it is possible, I suppose. I was 33 when I got married. But not probable that she will meet a man who is nearly identical to herself in personality and preferences. And I'm glad I didn't marry somebody that is like myself. I'm so glad. We'll probably be hippies and traveling around, and we'll have like really big fights too. So, but it says realistically, she would not find a man who shares all her likes and dislikes, right? She may rejoice when she finds that she has much in common with a man of her dreams. And yet underneath this layer of commonality, opposites are attracting. This is part of the magnetism in courtship. The man and woman each bring into the relationship a set of characteristics. Each has strengths, gifts, talents, and skills, but each also has needs, weaknesses, and his or her own rate of maturity to be handled with care. So we'll know that between us and our husbands, and even between us and our children, we will have different strengths and weaknesses. We will have different talents and different gifts and different skills. But what brings us together and what binds us together is always love. Always, always love, right? No matter how different we are, no matter how different our weaknesses and our strengths are, love is the bond of perfection that keeps us together and keep the harmony. So the couple should always complement each other. And for me, you know, it took a bit of learning curve to see how my husband's strengths complemented my strengths and weaknesses. And for him too, he had to adjust to some of my strengths to have maybe a strong personality, you know, more outgoing, and how different that was from him, and to see how this actually complement. And even our gifts, as you know, as we serve the Lord together, the Lord has always given me a passion for sharing the word of God and praying boldly for people and teaching the word of God. That has always been my gift since the Lord called me. For him, he is not a bold evangelist. He doesn't feel like he has like what it takes to preach and teach God's word, but he has a strong relationship with the Lord and he has a strong anointing for worship. We always joke when we go visit churches and people ask us to ministry. We always say, you know, my husband always say, make sure that she will preach and I will lead the worship, not the other way around, because you guys know I can't sing a note right. And that's his gift. And I can teach the word of God anywhere I go. I cannot sing. So even in that, the Lord work that our talents will complement each other. And we have been ministering together for 13 years, you guys. We visit over 10 countries, preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel and bringing people to Jesus together. Even though our gifts and talents are so different, I wish I had the same musical talents that my husband has. But I don't. And at the same time, he feels like, oh, maybe if I had gone to Bible college, I'll feel more confident about teaching. And, you know, but again, our weaknesses and our strengths complement each other. And when love is above all things, then we can do all things together and we can do all things together well, without fighting, without butting heads, but walking side by side in harmony. So I think I love this part of this chapter. So she talks about the give and take of mutual sharing, dealing with all the differences, that's something that we just talked about it now. She even talked about the differences in music taste between her and her husband. Her husband loves classical music, and I think, yeah, he's like pretty much like my mom and my dad when she was describing this. My mom, my dad, I grew up with a lot of classical music playing in the house, and my mom hates classical music. So it was kind of interesting Sunday's afternoon when he would start playing stuff, you know, but she always respected, and she didn't like it. She would just go outside and do her thing. And she was talking about how she loves bluegrass band playing and he likes classical. So, but once in a while, they would do things for each other to, you know. Oh, Valentine is saying movies. Let's talk about difference in movies. Oh my, well, I will be laying in bed wanting to watch Little House on the Prairie, and Ryan's like into Star Wars and science fiction, like all this sci-fi stuff, and I'm like, I can't stand that stuff, you know? Very different taste for things. And when we got married, we had a very different taste for food. And now we eat the same foods, but we still have our differences. He will put, you know, hot sauce on everything, and he would eat curry, and I was like, I don't like those, I can't stand this. In fact, just a fun fact, so when we met, the first time that he took me to eat out, he took me to a burger place. I was a vegetarian. So just show how different we were. So I was a vegetarian. He took me to a burger place, and he totally, like, he's a steak and potato guys, and I wanted nothing to do with meat. So, right, I eat meat today. Anyways, I will be a vegetarian to this day if I could. I still got married. Yes, I did. I still got married. And, you know, it's we are different. And we are going to be different like that with our children as well. You're always going to, you know, not understand how come, you know, your child doesn't eat this when everybody in the family loves it. Or how come, you know, your child loves, guys, my son, he is very picky, but he loves purple cabbage juice. Who loves purple cabbage juice? I just don't get it. But hey, I make purple cabbage juice for him if it makes him happy. I just don't drink it. He would spend the whole day eating cucumbers. I really don't like cucumbers. And I know most people love cucumbers. I love bananas. He hates bananas. Totally hates bananas. My son doesn't eat potatoes. And I'm including French fries. No potatoes. Nothing with potatoes. No mashed potatoes. No French fries. No chips. Nothing. And we all love potatoes here. So differences are there. We just have to work together, right? I can't force him. What about purple potatoes? I don't know if he will eat purple potatoes. Oh, Marlene is here. She's saying she's going to have to be muted and video off, but she's here. Awesome, Marlene. Yay. Did I have purple cabbage when I was pregnant? No. I had a bunch with him. I ate a lot of pancakes with chocolate chips and bananas, and he hates bananas and he loves pancakes with chocolate chips. So no purple cabbage juice when I was pregnant with him. The thing is that we are different. We have different tastes, and it's going to be like that in our marriage, and it's going to be like that with our children. And what we need to do is put on love, make the purple cabbage juice, and sometimes eat some curry or whatever food you don't like to eat that your husband likes to eat. Make a way that you can still cook for them. And we just find a common ground. That's very, very important that we do that. So, and you guys, you kind of know my story, right? There was no dating. So I had no idea what my husband liked or not. To be honest, he proposed to me on Thursday evening. He left the country on Friday. On Monday, I went back to Bible school, and I told my friends I got engaged to Ryan, and I didn't know his last name. This is a true story. And he stayed away for 5 weeks, came, took me to my graduation, And then I flew to the States, and he only went to the States a week before the wedding with his family. And pretty much the whole time we just talked on the phone. So there was no dating. Like, I barely knew him. I just knew things that we talked about it when we were on the phone together. So that's a true story. And we've been, no, he's not Jewish. No. So Ryan did not grow up in a Jewish home like I did. And he's been a believer his entire life. He grew up in a Christian home. And amazingly, my in-laws always had a love for the Jewish people in Israel and always prayed for the salvation of the Jewish people. They never knew that they one day will have a Jewish daughter-in-law and Jewish grandchildren. And their grandchildren would be born in Israel. But they prayed, and my husband grew up with this love in his heart for the Jewish people in Israel, which is amazing. Because when I met my husband after we got married, and I kind of like, we don't want to compare husbands and boyfriends, but I felt like all my Jewish boyfriends were not nearly close to as Jewish as my husband that was a non-Jew was, because of his love for the Jewish people in Israel. Even that the Lord worked out, right? So pretty amazing. So I love that Karen always comes up with this list of old movies to watch when she's talking about certain things in a book. Have you guys noticed that? She has some suggestions and of old movies. And I've been trying to find some of those old movies to watch. So on this one, she talks about The Trail of the Lonesome Pines. And then she talks about also African Queen with Humphrey Bogart and Rooster Cogburn with John Wayne. So, like, this is like old stuff, old goodies. But all of those three movies talk about, demonstrates how two people with very different backgrounds and different personalities can get along as they have a common purpose. So our common purpose as husbands and wives is always to glorify God. Our common purpose as husbands and wives is to always point others to Jesus as they look at our relationships, especially our children. I love that quote that she has here. I think she has here. She says, this is from Theodore Herzberg, "The most important thing a father can do for his children is love their mother. The most important thing a father can do for his children is love their mother." And I believe that the most important thing a mother can do for his children is to respect and love her husband. Our children are going to understand what marriage is by looking at our marriage. There's no other way for them. It's what they experience that is true. So if they come from a broken marriage, chances are they not going to get into a relationship where they're going to always think that a marriage is always a broken relationship. So it's very important for us to, keep the harmony, keep the peace, be humble enough to submit ourselves unto the Lord, because that's what the Bible says, that both husband and wife need to submit to the Lord, right? And submit to one another, understand one another's weaknesses and strengths. Now, she also mentions here that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. We are from different planet, you people. And I don't know if I can find it now. Let me see here. Oh, Diamond says she loves Rooster Cogburn. I need to watch this one. I haven't watched this one. She said, "My parents came both from screw-up homes, and they were able to look at that and say, that is not what we want. Doesn't happen very often." That is beautiful, because it's true. It's so true. Guys, look at the way that I parent my children today. This is not the way I was parented. This is not the way my mom did things for us. I barely saw my mom and dad growing up. Their focus was on making money and giving us stuff. It wasn't on actually being there for us. So very, very different. Marlene is saying, not only dad, but you will hear your children talk to their dad, minus respect, or the boys who treat moms poorly. That's so true. So they, it's so important the way that we treat each other. And even when we make mistakes, my husband and I, we make sure we apologize in front of our children. Because I think that it's the best way that we can show our children that it's, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying I'm sorry when you do something wrong. Or if I get aggravated and I raise my voice or something, or I'm frustrated because my husband is asking me for the fifth time, like, where's the ketchup? And I tell him where it is, and he says, it's not here, but it is there. And you guys know the whole story with the refrigerator, how it goes, right? It's right on their nose, and they can't see it. Oh my world, and I get like aggravated and I raise my voice, can't you see the ketchup? It's right here, you know. Then I always go back and apologize, you know, later on. But you all know how it is. So hey, I'm not the sweetest wife all the time, you guys. Like I'm roughing on the edges, and God is working on me too. So this is, yeah, Valentina say Mark 3:25. Do we have a verse for the ketchup story too? But that's how it is. So just quickly, I'm going to read this and then we can move on to the other one. Let's see. What's the time now, guys? Okay, we got 20 minutes. Okay. So I'm going to read this quickly. This is on page 270, still on the whole difference here. But it says, the difference in surface is due to the mere fact that couples are male and female. Love to the wife, let's say, has a lot to do with the various expressions of affection that are shared before bedtime. Love to him, let's say, it's about the affection shared in the privacy of the bedroom. We see things very differently, right? We see things differently. So the couple, though they were in love, but soon discovered that to love is to give of oneself while understanding the love language of the other. With courage, honesty, and vulnerability, they acknowledge their differences and feelings. And you guys, finding out my love language and finding out my husband's love language, it has blessed our marriage so much. Because my husband's love language is physical touch. And guess what? I hate being touched all the time. Oh my word. If you want to irritate me, you touch me. You rub me. Don't touch me. That's how I am. His love language? Touch. No, God has a sense of humor. I'm telling you. So, so different. My love language? Words of affirmation. Just tell me something good that I did. Just remind me of something that I did. Affirm me. And I'm happy. If I give my husband words of affirmation, straight over his head. It means nothing to him. I can go on and on telling people how amazing my husband is. But if I don't come and touch him and tickle him, or, you know, hold his hand and hug me and hug him and kiss him, it doesn't mean anything. I'm going to say I'm completely the same. So we love different ways. And one of the things that I teach over and over again is it's to homeschool moms, and it's a game changer. Learn your children's love language and you'll get their attention. If you know your children's love language, they're going to be way more engaged in whatever they're doing. Like if you have a child that love language is quality time, doing things in group, it's not really going to catch his attention, but doing things one-on-one will. If you have a child whose love language is physical touch, put that child on your lap and hug that child while you're reading to that child, and you have that child's complete focus, complete engagement there. If you have a child that, like me, words of affirmation is their love language, all you need to do is cheer them up every day and tell them how amazing they are, what great job they're doing, and you get their attention. So that's very, very helpful. Okay, I need to get some water here. I'm going to pass out. 1 second. I can just feel it. I haven't drank anything in hours. Oops. So, there's a lot on this whole chapter of marriage harmony. I'm telling you, there's so much that we can get out of it. Cherry saying, I want to add food as an additional love language. Oh, yes. Let me tell you. And that's your oldest son. So if you cook some yum stuff, Cherry, is that how he knows he's loved? But that goes from, that is the gift of service too. It goes with the gift of service. I think my second love language is the gift of service. Because if my husband and my kids clean the house and wash the dishes, I feel so loved. I feel so loved and appreciated because a clean house just shares, just says love all over for me. Jeanette's saying same. Sherry's saying definitely. Diamond is saying your favorite breakfast in the morning can help school get better. Yes. Yeah, definitely. It makes a big difference. Elizabeth, Marlene say, oh, Elizabeth, I love it. Fresh baked bread. Yes, you guys. Oh, you know, you're making me hungry because I haven't eaten anything today yet. Oh, I had beignets. You can count on beignets as food, right? Anyways, my husband made me a sandwich, but I had to start the book club and I didn't have time to eat. But anyways, it's there waiting for me when I finish. Yes, it comes under gifts and acts of service. That's what it is. So people feel appreciated when you do little things for them, when you cook them their favorite breakfast, or, you know, even when I have a friend whose love language is that, you know, like it's gifts. And so everywhere people go, they buy her a Starbucks mug from that place. And she has a whole cabinet of mugs from all over the world. So when we go there for Bible studies on Friday nights, she opens the cabinet, she makes fresh coffee, and she says, where do you want to go tonight? And people go and pick whatever mug from different places that they want to go. And it's always fun. But that's how she feels love, when everybody remembers. And I did that when I went to Brazil. I bought her a Starbucks coffee from Brazil, Starbucks mug from Brazil. And she was so excited. She was just so happy about it. Valentina saying that's her mom. So when you buy them a gift, and it just means a lot to them. Or when you do something for them, like the acts of service. Whew, so much to talk about that. But we need to move on to chapter 34. Modesty, inside and out. And I've read this chapter. And as I was talking about the beginning, being a modest person, it's so important, especially teaching our girls to be modest, teaching our boys to be modest, not only the way that they look and they dress and all of those things, but even the way that they talk about themselves, not bragging, not, you know, like they need to be modest, they need to be humble, in a sense. I feel very convicted reading this chapter. Because my personality is not Karen Andreola's personality. Let's just say this. Karen loves her long skirts, and she's very modest, and she's very quiet, and she's very different than I am. You know, I'm loud. I'm Brazilian. I'm, you know, like, I got blue nail polisher in my hands and in my nails, and sometimes, like, I feel really convicted. You know, like, is this being modest, or is this like being, you know, like I don't know, but at the same time, I'm always conscious of how I dress. You know, am I, like, is my dress long enough? Or if I'm wearing a tight pants, do I have a long shirt over it? here, my shirt, if I'm wearing anything like that, I'm constantly just pulling up to make sure that it's not showing the cleavage. And it was really hard for me because my nature before the breast reduction was like, you know, and it was really hard to wear stuff that will not, I'm just being honest to you, you know, and honest. And it was really hard to wear anything that would not show anything. It was, thank God for my breast reduction. I felt embarrassed all the time. I felt really embarrassed, and I felt like I couldn't wear anything. I couldn't put a swimming suit on. You know, all of those things. And when we wear swimming suits, like, you know, we make sure that our swimming suits are appropriate to be in front of other people. Or I had this day, oh guys, I have to, my husband kept saying, you need to get some suntan in your belly. So I was like, okay, but like, I don't want to show my belly anywhere, right? So this day in Key West, I said, I'm going to wear a bikini. I'm going to get some suntan on my belly. And that was like the only day I decided I was going to put like a bikini so I could actually tan my belly. And this day, we go to this fort, and there's a beach there. And so we go to this fort, and literally we meet two families camping next door to us with all their kids who are all homeschooled. And now they're all like, let's just go to the beach together. And I wanted to die. I just wanted to die. I kept myself in my dress the whole time. I just sat there in my dress the whole time. I'm like, I'm not taking this off. It's not happening. But you guys, can you imagine like how embarrassed we'll be? Like, they were there with their husbands and their children, you know, and they're all Christian too. And like, I was like, Ryan, don't tell me to do those things. I'm like, it's your fault. Now I'm feeling all embarrassed, and I'm glad I got my dress on. So, but it is important that we think about those things, and that we train our children the importance of being modest. Elizabeth is sharing modesty is not just physical, it's emotional too. Yes. Is that a long video? That would be good for us to watch. Maybe we can watch it later. I can hear you.
It's a video. This video is on the evolution of this.
No, I'd say it again.
Swimsuit. It's by a modest swimsuit.
I've watched this before.
It's hilarious.
Okay.
And it gives the physical presentation is to our minds.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to add this video to
great YouTube
replay. Okay. Okay. You got muted. Okay. I'm going to actually add. Oh my goodness. Okay. I need to pause this. I want to watch this later. Sorry. Didn't mean that. But I'm going to add this to the replay too so you guys can watch it. But I've watched her talk on that, and it's really, really interesting. It's really good, and it's something that you can watch with your girls too. My daughters and I, let me go back here. My daughters and I, we are supporters of a ministry that is called Through Girl. It used to be Secret Keeper Girl, but they thought the name was not really what was supposed to be, like, didn't really sound like it was supposed to be. That was called True Girl. And we just went to watch their tour on last Thursday night. We've done this three times already. It's phenomenal. If you have girls, twins and teen girls, you want to go to, it's called My True Girl .com, if I'm not mistaken, and check out their ministry because they are amazing. They have amazing books. They have Bible studies, and actually they contact me. They want me to help them to promote their Bible studies for girls, and they focus a lot on teaching our girls what true beauty is and what God created us to be. who we really are in God. And they really teach a lot about, yes, thank you, Sherry. They teach a lot about modesty. So they teach our kids how to do this little test of modesty. And I'll totally fail it if I do it right now. Like if I have to bend down right now with this thing here, but I'm always wearing a cami underneath, not just underwear. So they do the praise Jesus test. Yes, the praise Jesus test, if it's going to show your belly button. And then the crisscross applesauce, if you sit with your legs crossed. So if it's not going to show anything, my girls always wear like shorts underneath their dresses to make sure that if they sit in any position, the hallelujah, how does the hallelujah goes, Marlene? The praise Jesus test or hallelujah test, medicine calls it. Yes, that's the one that we do. And the other one is if you bend down, like, will that show anything? Or there's raise your hands above your head. Yeah, that's the one that we do, like the hallelujah praise Jesus test. And so it's really great. It's really, really awesome. So we've been supporting this ministry for the past 2 years. I'll say two years and a bit. And yeah, if your belly shows is too short, or you know, if it's the shirt or the skirt is too short, all of those things. So it's important that we use those things. So I love this ministry because it has a way to teach the kids those things. And but we as moms, we need to model modesty to our children. So we were talking about, you know what, you guys, you're watching this in my worst camera. Because I didn't plug in my good camera. I just noticed now. Sorry. You guys were talking about that it's not just the physical modesty, but the emotional modesty too. And of course, Karen is pointing out, you know, characters here like Emma and so ladylike and all of those things. And I'm thinking here, I am not that kind of ladylike, you know, like I'm a different kind of ladylike. Because I know how to behave in front of people, and you know, I'm always careful of the way that I dress and all of those things. But I can't compare myself to Emma, or you guys know what I mean. And the other thing too, I love that she mentions this, because that's another thing that True Girl talks about it, and I talk about it with my girls all the time, is the stress of keeping up with the high fashion. And we are not into fashion in this house at all. And we don't care what everybody else is wearing. But I came from a culture where everyone dresses the same. And God forbids if you're not wearing the same kind of clothes from the same brand. And it's so sad, because I see as a kind of slavery. I see all of these young girls being slave to a certain kind of fashion or different brands that their parents have to pay 5 to 10 times more for a piece of clothing just because it has a name on it. So I am really, yeah, Elizabeth wants to share a story. Of course you can. Okay, Elizabeth, let me pin your video. Okay. All right. You need to unmute yourself. Okay, go ahead.
Hi. Well, I have a fun how God works story that I mentioned these and Muslims. When I was in school, you know, I was raised in the South. We were wearing shorts, da, da, da. When I was in high school, the dress skirts had to be the length of your fingertips. So that was ridiculous, because there were some girls with really short arms that barely cut. On the other hand, my hands almost reached my knees. And my third day of high school, my really mean geography.
So you're breaking up a
teacher. My fingernails were longer than my shorts. I said, I'll cut off to the office. Okay. So I basically had to sit in the office until my mom bought me jeans. And I was like, this is ridiculous. I'm not wearing my knees. And so from the shorts all the way to my knees. So I wore jeans every day after that, even though I lived in Charleston, South Carolina. Day, I've always worn. And then like God introduces us in a Muslim ministry where it's not appropriate for me to show my legs. But how all the way back, you know, God prepared me that it's cool. You can be fully covered even when it's hot, you know. So anyway, that's how God works through silly little things to prepare you for what's coming.
Thank you. Okay, let me get back here. Sorry, it looks like the it's breaking up a bit, but I want to make sure you guys, can you hear and see me fine? Because it seems like it's freezing sometimes on and off, is it? Being glitchy? Oh, there's always, it's the beauty of live. Okay, is it better now? Okay. So this is really interesting because I taught a class, and I know it's our time is up. I taught a class on contextualization to a group of missionaries that were going to Africa. And okay, so let me how about we close our videos just to see if the internet will get a little bit better. Is that okay if everybody just stop your video? Okay, let's see if this will get a little bit better. Okay, so I taught this class on contextualization to a group of young missionaries going to Africa. Right before I moved to Israel, I taught this class in a Baptist seminary in Brazil. And it was really interesting to read into different cultures in Africa, because as we read missionary stories, and as I was teaching this class, we came across the story from this missionary who goes to this unreached tribe in Africa. And of course, in her culture, she always covered, you know, like she wore like sleeves and make sure that she was covered, and then she wore skirts kind of like down to her knees, and that was considered modest in her culture. Well, she goes to this tribe, and in this tribe the woman wore nothing from the waist up, but their legs had to be covered all the way. They were like this long, long skirts all the way to their feet. But from the waist up, they were nothing. And that was the way that being modest in their culture looked like. So of course, now this missionary is freaking out because she's not gonna take her shirt off. You know? And she's embarrassed because she's showing her legs. I know, what in the world? Yeah. Yeah, this is a true story, guys. So anyways, it's hard. And interesting, when you work with different cultures, modesty is going to look different from each culture. So in a Jewish culture, this is permitted, have three-fourths sleeves or long sleeve amongst the Orthodox Jews, the religious Jews, and always a t-shirt underneath. They will not show their collarbones or stuff. Long skirt. Probably a, you know, something underneath too, and that's just how. And they're not gonna show their real hair. They will wear a wig. That's how it is with the Orthodox Jewish woman. Funny story. So when we lived in Jerusalem, I signed up for the gym, and it was a gym just for women. And they had a little nursery for the baby, so I could take Ben with me. It was on the same building as our church and where Ryan worked at the church office. And I could leave my baby, Benjamin, playing while I could go and work out at the gym. Well, a lot of the Orthodox Jewish women will work out of that gym because it was woman only. So when you walked into the locker room, into the change room, they will hang their clothes and they will hang their wigs and go work out, and then they will come out and then get dressed again, and they will actually be in workout clothes. without their wigs and stuff, and then they would come back and they would dress all modest again and put their wigs on and good to go for the rest of the day. So this is a true story, you guys. It's really funny. So here's the thing. I think that modesty has a lot to do with your heart. If your heart is full of lust, chances are you want to show yourself and you want to show your body because you want to be attracted, you want other men to be attracted to you. And it's very sad, you guys. We walked into church 3 weeks or 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago. My husband and I and the kids were walking to take the kids to Sunday school. And this woman, very, very beautiful woman, but she's wearing this black dress tight all over her body, up down to her knees, with the high heels and her shoulders and her collarbones and everything showing. Like, I don't know where she was. She thought she was going. But I was horrified because my husband immediately looked at the woman. I mean, what man is not going to go and look at it, because she's coming with this body, like a, you know, perfect body, young and beautiful, with this dress all over and big high heels and stuff. And I'm thinking here, I don't think she realized, maybe she's new in faith, I don't think she realizes how important it is to be modest, especially if you're in the house of God. Come on, you people. You don't want men to look at you. But I could tell right away she's single and she's not a mom, you know, and she still got her hormones looking for the right one. And but it was just sad. It was just sad, not judging anybody, but it's just an example. So, yeah. So Diamond is asking, I knew their hairs need to be covered, but I didn't know they were wigs. Yes, they do. They don't show their real hair unless they're showing to their husband. And for them is a sign of modesty, just to keep their best to their husband. That's how it works. So anyways, just to finish up here, modesty is the guardian of purity for all ages. When made an attribute of mother culture, it also protects against arrogance, egotism, and vanity. It shows that we are generous, thoughtful, and kind. Meanwhile, modesty preserves blessings down the road. A Christian mother is mindful of modesty. She glorifies God, and it is in touch with the joy this brings when she seeks to model modesty, make strength and dignity her clothing, have the courage of her opinions, look outside of herself to the needs and feelings of others, bloom with the beauty of her character. And of course, she says, yeah, I think Jane Austen would agree, don't you? So, yeah, so basically that's what it comes down to, is to model modesty, not only the way that you dress, but the way that you act and the way that you project yourself, or make strength and dignity your clothing. Don't just think about your belly bottom, you know, I'm not talking about the physical belly bottom, but don't think just about yourself and showing yourself. That's not how God did not create us to just think about ourselves. He created us to actually look about, think about others, and bloom with the beauty of your character. Your character is more important than your physical beauty. And I always talk about that with my girls, especially my 9, soon to be 10-year-old girl, who really loves to look herself in the mirror. Okay. She's learning. All right, ladies, let's pray, because our time is boarding up now. We have fast 7 minutes, but we started a few minutes late. Let's just pray, and I hope that this discussion has been a blessing to you. Certainly, everything that I read in this book really provokes a lot of thoughts in my head, and a lot of thoughts of how can I be better at this? What can I learn from this? And I know. Thank you, guys. Thank you. It's always such a great discussion. It's always a blessing to be able to talk about those things. I think it's so important for us to pondering about those things and keep all those thoughts about keeping the harmony in our marriage and our relationship with our children. That's very important too. And I'll see you guys for Kids Book Club and Teens Book Club in 2 days. I'm not sure if it's going to be from here, if it's going to be from San Antonio, Texas. We'll figure it out in the next 24 hours. I love you ladies so much. I'm so glad you're a part of this, the Homeschool Sisterhood. Thank you for being here. Thank you for praying for me. We are getting better. Hopefully Ryan's going to be better soon too. He said he's feeling better today. So that was a big thing. Even though he was coughing all night, during the day he's being fine. So, and we're still going to take him to the clinic. Thank you so much. I love you. I pray for you and I praise God for you. Bye guys. See you soon.